Well, good morning. It is good to see you this morning. Actually, it is good to see you this morning. I cannot tell you how difficult it is to preach to a camera and not have faces to see. And so it was difficult to watch me. Yeah, I can see it. When the family watched worship, it was difficult for me too. I see. Well, we do welcome you. It is good to be back in house again. We had about 40 in the first service and a sweet time together, and we look to do that again. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we do want to be mindful that there have been many who have gone into military service voluntarily and have not come back home. They've gone to fight for our freedoms, for country, for you and I, and have not returned back. They laid themselves down for us. And so we want to acknowledge that this morning as well as our time of worship. But if you have had a family member who went off to service and did not come back, would you stand at this time? If you had a family member that went to serve in some military service and did not come back. None are standing, so we're going to pray this morning. If you just allow me to lead us in prayer time, it'll be our invocation, and we'll also pray for the Lord to bless those whose families are remembering today. Father, we acknowledge you this morning and thank you for being Creator God. Thank you, Father, that we can, as you have allowed us to know through grace, we can have confidence in you. Not only from creation and from conversion of our souls into your kingdom, but throughout the course of our lives until you bring us home. And Lord God, you've placed that courage and encouragement inside of us in a spiritual manner. We thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus, for his death and resurrection, for the grace that granted us faith to trust and to believe that Jesus is indeed the Savior, and that we needed that Savior because of our sin. Father, we're humbled before you this morning. We pray that you help us to be attentive to you as you speak to our hearts. We thank you for the fellowship and for being in this place today. And while the fellowship may seem a little bit strained and different, Father, I thank you that we are able to look in each other's eyes and we're able to express our love and concern for one another. Thank you for putting that in our hearts. Lord God, stir our hearts to worship you today, to give you the adoration and worship and praise of which you're worthy. We thank you, Father, also for this weekend that reminds us of those that from our midst in our country have gone to battles and wars across the world and even at home to fight for freedom. And Lord God, with selfless service, many of them gave of their lives. We pray, thanking you for them and their heart, planting that inside of them to go and offer themselves up in that kind of service. We pray for families today who perhaps are impacted by personal family loss and that this weekend will be a reminder for them. May it be a reminder for all of us, Father, that our freedom is sweet. And while it may seem like freedoms have been infringed on lately, we thank you that in this country we indeed have freedoms that are not found in many other countries. We give you the glory for that. We thank you, Father, for this time together in worship. And Lord God, may your spirit and your presence be real to us. Draw us close to you and to one another. Would be our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior. Amen. Brother Alec, just thank you.
Well, good morning, church. As Brother Robert just said, it is wonderful to be able to see y'all. If y'all had come in here and saw the setup we had, and it was just weird. It's weird singing to emptiness and hoping that y'all are singing with us at home. But if you will, go ahead and stand as we join in worship together.
To worship and adore the Lord our God, will you pray with all? try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join us? Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Amen. As we continue on, allow me to read a few verses out of Psalm 73. It says, starting in verse 21, it says, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we enter this time of worshiping you together in one another's presence, God, as refreshing as that is, I pray that it is not lost on us the reality of our need for your salvation, the reality of our embittered hearts. Though you have freed us from slavery that sin and death held on us, Lord, we are still prone to wander. And Lord, as we celebrate this time together, I just ask that you would remind us of that great gift that you have given us, that even though we turn from you daily, you never leave our side. You are at our right hand. And you carry us forth when we can't walk anymore. Lord, as we continue on, just allow that to wash over us, to free us from things that have oppressed us over this time, and help us to love you more. Lord, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Curse, you're the cure for For every sickness, you're the healer. For every storm, you're the calm. For all that's lost, oh, what a Savior. And on that cross of Calvary, every burden has been defeated, every wretched heart redeemed. You drown our sins in seas of crimson. Hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ has risen from the grave. Alleluia, it is finished. All to you the highest praise. And on that day of utmost glory, all of darkness cannot tarry. Every shackle will come undone. My solid rock, thine is the kingdom. Every shackle will come undone. My solid rock, thine is the kingdom. Hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ has risen from the grave. Alleluia, it is finished. All to you the highest praise. Where there was sin, your love rushed in. Where sin runs deep, your grace runs deeper. For all enslaved, the ransom paid. Light of the world, yours is the power. Where there was sin, your love rushed in. Where sin runs deep, your grace runs deeper. For all enslaved, the ransom paid. Light of the world, yours is the power. The power. Hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah, finished. All to you the highest praise. Hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah, it is finished. All to you the highest praise. All to you highest praise. And on that cross of Calvary, every burden has been defeated, every wretched heart redeemed. You drown our sins in seas of crimson. You drown our sins in seas of crimson. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea just taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Yes, it is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faint shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumps shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Lord, we come before you again in prayer and just, God, we thank you. We thank you for this time you've given us to come together to lift our voices as a congregation together, to be reminded of your goodness and your holiness and your steadfast love for your children. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us your holy word that is trustworthy. And God, we seek during this time as we open your word together, we just seek to know you more. We seek to draw closer to you. We seek to know your truth deeper within our hearts, within our minds, that we may be more like Christ, not by our own power, but by the Holy Spirit within us, Lord. It is in your holy name we pray. Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Brother Alec. It is, again, good to see you. I assure you that the work of ministry has continued through these days of absence and isolation. Do know that a couple of families have benefited. We have some young men in our congregation who have gone out and helped put ramps and handrails on residences for those returning back from hospital sittings and being able to get back in their houses in a proper manner, and I appreciate those young men spending that time and energy to do that ministry. Many of you, we really thought that there would be a suppression in the offerings and the gifts during this time, and so many of you have been faithful, come by the office to do your banking, and the Lord has blessed in these days, and we thank you. You may notice we didn't pass offering plates. There are some receptacles out in the foyer, and we encourage you to give if that is your desire. But we do praise the Lord for his continued faithfulness even in these days. A few weeks ago, we began a series on qualities and qualifications for church leaders in anticipation of seeking out some more leaders in our church, deacons and such. And today we're going to identify another quality. Certainly as all these have been essential, this one would be noted as essential as well. We noted initially how one of those disciples of Christ, those original 12 that Jesus chose according to divine appointment, happened to be a traitor. And we know that that was in fulfillment of what God proposed and would have in the way of fulfilled prophecy. Judas Iscariot was that one. And if you'll think back, Judas Iscariot had his own agenda. Judas Iscariot was a zealot. It was a group of men in those days who were Jews and believed that the Messiah of Christ was going to come in a military fashion and overthrow Roman rule. And they strongly believed that when Jesus showed up and declared that he was the Messiah, that that's exactly the kind of deliverer that he would be. And Judas, being one of the 12, was waiting for that moment for that revolution to begin. And when it didn't, he was predisposed to betray Christ. And so he had his own agenda to lead Jews to a national freedom. Well, the agenda of Jesus was much different. Jesus' kingdom was a kingdom, it's an eternal kingdom. For one thing, it was not a temporary worldly kingdom. It's a kingdom that is a kingdom that's spiritual, and it's a kingdom that will last forever. And it was to be entered into by grace through faith in Christ Jesus as God sent him to come and pay the price for the sin of man. The Lord has consistently chosen workers to serve in this kingdom and to equip them and also to enable them to fulfill the duties that the commander appoints to them. Now, you may recognize I'm using military terms. Because it is a weekend for Memorial Day, we're going to look into a passage of Scripture. Paul was very creative in his writing that he used a lot of word pictures to help his readers and believers understand God's message. And this morning's passage is no different. We find in this passage an image of a soldier. He uses this imagery among a couple of other imageries, but we will focus in on that imagery of a soldier this morning and the quality of a soldier that's essential in serving his country is that he's committed and devoted to the agenda of his government and of his commander. And so let's look at this passage of Scripture. It's very brief, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Going to read verses 1 to 4 this morning. Paul writes, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men, who will then be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. For no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." Let's pray together. Father, as we examine this passage, we lean upon you for wisdom and understanding. We pray for your Spirit to give us enlightenment, to open our hearts and our eyes that we may hear and receive and trust your word that's given to us today. Lord God, thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us to accommodate this reality. We pray that we are submissive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Very brief passage. There is so much in this context, and of course, every passage of Scripture that's utilized is found in a larger context. Here, the Apostle Paul, in the second letter to Timothy, is writing perhaps his last letter before his execution. He is writing it from a Roman prison. The first letter to Timothy is one where he gives instructions. He gives qualifications for overseers and deacons, those that would lead in the church. In this second letter, you get this sense of finality, the sense that he is drawing near to the end of his time on the earth and his ministry. And he wanted to get some last crucial instructions to his young pastor friend, his protege, if you might, his son in the faith. Many Bible scholars are not sure that the Apostle Paul was instrumental in converting Timothy, but they do feel strongly that he was instrumental in investing in his life and discipling him and mentoring him, as well as giving him opportunities to serve. He reminded Timothy in this letter of his legacy of faith through his grandmother and his mother, that Paul himself had affirmed that call and that faith by laying hands on him, and that was entrusting ministry to him. He encouraged him to kindle that gift that had been placed inside of him, that treasure, so that he might utilize it to the glory of the Father in heaven and make sure that he serves without fear of intimidation of any opposition to the gospel. And so here we find Paul continuing in this encouragement to this young pastor, and we find valuable information about how we ought to serve. Now, while not all of us might be pastors in churches or have a teaching position, we all can take benefit from these qualities that we find in leaders. And you can exercise those among your children and in your family and in your neighborhoods and among your friends and coworkers, classmates. So there are opportunities for us to all exercise these qualities that we're discovering in our examination during these days. So I encourage you to take that to heart. In this chapter 2, verse 1, we find right off of the bat the Apostle Paul, after giving kind of a foundation in the first chapter, we find him saying, "Now, my son, because of these things, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I think it's important that we remind ourselves that everything that you and I have in the way of our salvation and the assurance of glory begins with grace. It begins with God's unmerited favor towards us. It is not because of anything we've done to earn God's love. God loved you and offered grace so that your eyes of faith would be open, that you would understand your sin and your need for a Savior, that you would find yourself in trouble, in desperate situation where you need a Redeemer. And the Lord also gives you faith to trust that when God sent Jesus and He died for sin, He died for your sin. He paid the price for yours. Satisfying God, He raised Christ back to life. And so Christ takes care of our sin problem as well as our death problem. Now, we may say I have a whole lot of enemies in life and a lot of things that trip me up and disturb me and make trouble for me, but you have none greater than sin and death. Those will be the ones that will hound you, and especially if you do not have Christ as Lord and Savior, you are doomed. You must find Christ in order to be relieved from sin and death. And so it is by grace that this happens. You and I can't do anything to earn the favor of God. God in His grace grants to us the opportunity to see our own depravity and our danger, and then trusting that Christ is the solution, the remedy for our situation. Some will believe, some will not. Those who believe have received grace. One of our most favorite and popular hymns in the hymn book is Amazing Grace. Now, we don't have hymn books in front of you because we wanted to limit the amount of contact, but most of us know Amazing Grace. In fact, tonight Brother Alec is going to be up in the sound in the video booth, and I'm going to be leading just a few hymns in the evening group. And Amazing Grace is one of those that we'll be singing because most people know the words and because they're familiar to our heart. When we think about that wonderful hymn, there are some stanzas, some words in there that are of great importance. He writes, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." We hardly ever think about grace bringing us to a place of fear. The scripture says that fear is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Grace brings us to the place where we fear God. We see Him in His holiness. We see us in our own depravity, and we begin to fall under a fear, and that's God's plan for us. That's what's opening our eyes to understand we need salvation. It says that hymn says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear," but it goes on to say, "And grace my fears relieved." Grace is so wonderfully special. It not only opens our hearts to our need for Christ, but it satisfies our need for Christ through Jesus. He brings Him the gift of grace. The Apostle Paul says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That word gift comes from the same root word as grace. He is the charis. He is a gift from God. He is grace from God that brings our salvation. He is the very hope of our eternal life. And so the very same grace that brings us to the place of fear that we so belovedly sing, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." It was that very same grace that brought us to the place of our solution, place of peace. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes in another place that it's the God of peace who gives us the peace of God. And with that is a peace that passes all understanding. It's a settling of the soul regardless of the circumstances around us. And so this grace paves the way for that. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, be strong in this grace. The grace that you began in regarding the fear of God, the salvation of your soul, the assurance of things to come. Continue to be strong in that grace. Grow in it. You and I as children of God are to be walking in this grace moment by moment, acknowledging it. In fact, the next couple of stanzas in Amazing Grace brings this to mind. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will bring me home. Grace from the beginning to the end. It is the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God that comes into a life and removes sin and brings in His righteousness and His grace and His goodness to that life. God holds you fast. He brings you all the way to the finish line. There's no mistaking that the Apostle Paul also used the imagery of athlete. In fact, he does here in this very same passage. You go beyond the soldier. If anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. He calls at the end of this letter, he says, "I've run the race. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." He's talking about his race in the life of faith. And him being an athlete, that this is of grace. Part of grace is running that race and staying in your lane and trusting the Lord to get you to the finish line. And so relying completely upon this grace is how we stay strong in the grace. Rely upon it and experience its fullest results. And in the meantime, Paul goes on to say, I want you to be strong in this grace. And then the things that you've heard from me, he gives them an assignment here. Now, your salvation begins with grace, but you have assignment as this race goes on. And for Timothy, as a pastor, he found this out. The things that you've heard from me, Paul's saying, in the presence of witnesses, these things entrust to faithful men who will then be able to teach others also. Timothy's assignment as a pastor, as a leader in the church, was to acknowledge and recognize that there are others around him who are teachable. Those who would have hearts that would be receptive to the truth of God, not only grow in it, learn this information, but then take it and pass it on to others. This is the discipleship process we're finding here. To disciple, to invest, to mentor, to lead. All of those things are found in this passage right here where Paul is encouraging Timothy, now take these things that you've heard from me. All of these important lessons as the grace of God continues to grow you. You take these things and pass them on. Invest in others. The mindset of the Christian life is not that you take the blessings of God and the grace of God and you receive it into your vessel of your life and you keep it to yourself, but that out of the overflow of what you'll experience. And listen, believer, what you receive in your life is an overflow. It's not just a little bit. It's not just enough. It's an overflow. And if you will open your spiritual eyes, you will recognize it. And out of that overflow is where we pass it on to others, where we impact the lives of others. As a young man, Laura and I began to have children, very young, still a kid myself. And I remember when we had children, I would be thrilled as I was growing in the Lord to learn some Bible truth that I was learning in my Bible study, my quiet time, and look for an opportunity to be able to share that with my children somewhere along the way. And sure enough, the Lord would open up an opportunity where some kind of situation would happen, and it would be a wonderful time for teaching my kids a lesson. It was an opportunity for me to pour into my children's lives. Well, we might say, well, that's what parents are supposed to do. Yes, that is. But then I didn't leave it there. I'd take it to work with me, and some unsuspecting coworker every once in a while would get a nugget of this truth. It may not be throwing the Bible in their face, but it was bringing a principle to light regarding some issue that was happening at work or something that was going on out in the field, and it would be an opportunity to be able to invest and to grow. And of course, the opportunities to be able to lead others and help them to grow through Sunday school leadership. I was always that guy that raised my hand in Sunday school to answer questions or to say, hey, let me tell you what God taught me this week, and would share it with others. And as the church began to notice this, this is when my call to serving the Lord became affirmed by the membership, because they were seeing how we were giving evidence of the grace that God was using in my life to help me to know what God was talking about and to pass it on to others. This is how the church works together. We talked about that last week, about affirming and then coming together and responding to the call upon the life. Well, it is this grace that brings us to that place. That's what being strong in grace is. You're growing in the Lord. You're learning truth. You're passing it on. And that's where the growth comes in. It's not just in the growth of your own personal life. It is in being used by the Lord to invest in the growth of others' lives as well. And so Paul's encouraging Timothy here. These things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust of faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's that discipleship process in light. As he says this, he brings to note verse 3, suffer hardship with me. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The process of leading others and teaching others and investing and mentoring others is not always easy, nor is it without its difficulties. There are times when ministry can be hazardous. As a leader, you discover that right off the bat. The things they try and teach you in seminary, they can't teach you all of the things you'll experience when you get on the field. There are just some things that are going to come up that were not addressed, had not been experienced perhaps before, or they didn't think was important. But you find out it's really important. And the same thing happens in our own personal ministry life, with our families, with our neighbors, coworkers. Is that this is a war that we've entered into. The Apostle Paul is saying, be ready to suffer hardship with me. If Paul, anybody would talk about suffering, it would be Paul. When you read through Acts, you find all of the different experiences he had. In a couple of the letters, he gives a rundown of the things. I've been shipwrecked, I've been in prison, I've been stoned, I've been left for dead, been hauled out of the city in a basket. You name it, the Apostle Paul experienced it. And he's telling Timothy, this young guy, okay, get ready to suffer with me. As you're doing all of this, as you're growing in the power, being strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and you're sharing and equipping, it's going to be a difficult time. Beware. Be ready to suffer hardship. In fact, I wrote in my margin, endure. Be ready to endure, to persevere, because ministry is not easy, even in your own personal ministry. It's not always easy. There are difficulties there. But we're all called to be like soldiers. The Apostle Paul using this imagery here. Be careful. Enter into ministry like a soldier who in active service and does not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he can please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Every believer has been called into a battle. The battle you and I face is not a physical battle. The Apostle Paul writes in another place, our war is not flesh and blood. Our war is with spiritual entities, powers. with spiritual principalities in dark places, wicked places, in the heavenly places. There's a battle going on all the time. And it's not just with outward things in the world. Oftentimes, troubles in a church happen from the inside out. There are always troubles and difficulties that are coming, and it's a spiritual battle that needs to be given attention to. And here, a soldier in the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, if you recall that, an eternal spiritual kingdom, he needs to be alert to the battle he's about to enter into. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, put on the full armor of God. If you're going to fight these battles, you need to have spiritual armor. Now, out of all that armor, there's only one that's been noted as an offensive weapon. Well, I would say there's two when you read through the entire passage, because the sword of the Spirit is the weapon. All the rest is defensive. But there's another weapon in there, in my understanding, and that is prayer. And when you yield yourself to the Lord and you are seeking His face and looking for His will and looking for understanding of Scripture truth, the Lord's providing that. He's supplying you, enabling you, and he's giving you the ammo that you need to do the work that he's calling you to as a soldier in his kingdom's work. Look, every believer's at war with the world, at least with the world system. The world system wants to see Christianity crumble and fail. And it may not be blatant. In some cases, it is. Think about this. We're celebrating those who've gone and fought for freedom. And in this country, we have freedoms. It may not seem like it in the last 2 months. It may seem like our freedoms have been stifled. But I would dare you to go to another country where being a believer, being in church is against law. And your worship is done underground. Can't be done at a building that's known of. You have to hide your faith. We are a free people. Now, we must guard those freedoms. But I will tell you, we are a free people. But our freedom in Christ is an even greater freedom. And we need to be on alert for that. So we put on the armor of God that covers spiritual matters so that we may battle against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of this dark age and against the hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. So leader in church, leader in your home, needs to be aware that this battle is going on. And your work, especially in the church, is a unique work. It's unique, different from that in the rest of the world. We like to come into the church, and we like to put business techniques and approaches from the world in the church, and some of those will work, but not all of them will. This is a spiritual organism. It is not an organization. So it's a unique work regards the souls of men, the redemption of spiritual things. We must give attention to that spiritual thing, and it's in a unique battlefield. Again, the spiritual realm. It's not the normal physical realm. We must live by faith and not by sight. And the work of the leader is in response to the direction and the wisdom that that believer is receiving from the Lord as he's growing in his grace, as he's giving attention to Scripture, as he's yielding to the Holy Spirit in prayer time, and making commitment to this kingdom that the Lord has called us to. Listen, Lord God is commander-in-chief. He's entrusted his kingdom to Christ. And Christ has then entrusted his kingdom to his apostles, and then the apostles to the family of faith. It is a war. And we are like soldiers in a spiritual battle. The leaders and your church leaders will carry a brunt of that load, but all of us work together in this kingdom work to accomplish the mission that our commander has given us to accomplish in this spiritual kingdom. The soldier will always want to please his commander. This is what the Apostle Paul said here as he qualifies this work for Timothy. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. Listen, when you go into the military, your life becomes property of the United States of America in this country. You get up and you go and you pack up your stuff and you go where they tell you to go. Your civilian affairs, your family, where everything is. Now, they accommodate you to move your children and your wife, but for the most part, you go where they tell you. The affairs of civilian life become secondary. The service of the commander-in-chief becomes primary. And for every believer, especially leaders in the churches, this has to be a priority. The one who's a leader in a church will be devoted. He'll be committed. He will be committed to the King and his kingdom. And the instruction from Scripture is that we would keep our eyes on Jesus. The Hebrew writer said it this way: let's lay aside every encumbrance and every sin that entangles us so easily, and let us run with endurance the race that's before us, and fix your eyes upon Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him, he despised the shame. He humbled himself. He committed himself completely to Christ, to the Father. And whatever it took for the kingdom of God to be honored and for souls to be won, Christ was willing to go there. And we are called to fix our eyes on him. Paul's saying here, Timothy, like a soldier, let's be devoted to the commander. And let's yield ourselves to him. A servant in the church must be one who recognizes that Jesus has pioneered this way before us. He's given us a perfect example, and we must follow after him. Look at his diligence and his faithfulness. Honor him, worship him as he served the Father. We must do the same. He stayed focused on the eternal reward. His joy was in going and being with the Father. He had a reward set before him. His joy was securing redemption for the lost. He had a joy before him. Most of our joy and reward will be on the other side. There will be some times of joy and reward in this world, but most of it will be on the other side. And for church leaders, that becomes important. Stay focused on that eternal reward. Never lose sight and forget the work of grace that Christ brought about to bring his kingdom to bear. And this Memorial Day weekend, we'll remember those who died to secure our national freedom, but we'll also have opportunity to remember Christ, who by his sacrifice secured eternal satisfaction, eternal spiritual security that the Father desired for him to bring and that we benefit from, and then have the great privilege to be able to follow his lead and to serve. As we think about selecting servants for ministry, we need to seek those who are looking to the commander, those who are currently, right now, giving evidence of giving attention to this commander, attention to the scripture, attention to his instruction, and focused on the work of the eternal kingdom. Those will be the ones that will serve our church and serve the kingdom well. To do that, and again, very fundamental, must belong to the Lord, must be saved, must have experienced salvation. And perhaps someone in this place has yet to respond to the call of God. Grace is knocking at your door. You've experienced that God is holy. You know that your life is not where it ought to be. And you haven't quite figured out how to get it right. And the only way is Jesus, the gift of grace that God sent. And your response to him is what will matter. If you know you're a sinner, need forgiveness is because God has begun a work of grace in you. And I read through John on yesterday. The question came up, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, there's only one thing you can do. Believe the one whom he has sent. And that was Jesus himself. And so trust in him, the one who is the commander in chief, the one who's paved the way, the one who's given us perfect example and enabled us to be able to do what he's called us to do in this day and age. If you need to trust Christ, we encourage you to do that. Let us celebrate with you salvation. Let us walk with you as you grow in your faith. There are many other things that we could look at in this passage of Scripture, but because of time limits, and we don't need to be breathing the same air the preacher's been spouting out. So we're going to finish here. Let me pray, and then we'll have a time of response. Should any need to come forward, we certainly want to give you opportunity to do that. Let's bow together. Father, as we look to you, we thank you for the privilege that you give us, Father God, to be in this place, Lord God, together again. Father, lean upon your goodness and your faithfulness to be reminded of what it is to be a soldier in your army, Lord God, to have the example of Christ and the Apostle Paul and Timothy before us. Father God, may we be found faithful as your army to serve in the same manner, whether it be in the home or in our neighborhoods, at our jobs, in our community. Lord God, help us to be completely committed and devoted to you and your kingdom. And I pray for those souls, Father God, that may not know you, that need to trust you by faith. I pray this morning, Father, that they would say yes to you and that we would be able to celebrate that with them. We love you so much. Now, Father, as we respond to you, draw us close to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our Father, we thank you for the great privilege it has been to be in your presence today together. And we ask, Father, that you would grant us health and a fullness of your Spirit. Lord God, having heard your instruction today, that we would be reminded we belong to a kingdom that is eternal and invisible and yet visible. Lord God, may we serve you well. You be honored and praised through our lives of faithfulness. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We're going to dismiss from the back. That way you don't walk by each other. And then you can hug each other outside, whatever you want to do out there. God bless you. It's so good to see you again. Have a good weekend, and we will hopefully see you next week. God bless.